Welcome everyone to another episode of the Arm in Time podcast, and we're going back to, like I was talking before on the last couple of episodes, bringing in micro brands from the United States, continue to bring them in and have them talk to you guys directly about their company, how they came to be, and their ideas moving forward and stuff like that. So today, this week, we're going to, I kind of teased last week about, or not last week, 2 weeks ago, about bringing in a company that is really two companies in one. And some people had ideas. I don't think anyone came up with the right answer, but some people had some ideas kind of in the right path. But this week we are bringing in RT from Vortec Watches and Colorado Watch Company. So RT, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Great, great. So my first run in with Vortec Watches personally, like in person. It was actually Intersect Dallas last year. So that was right before I deploy. And I had this great idea. Oh, I'm gonna bring all these brands and all this stuff. And then obviously the Army had other ideas that I had to deploy for a little bit. So I had to put a break on it. And then now I'm trying to get back to bringing you guys all in and stuff like that. So I really appreciate you coming in. I know it was a little bit of a break from last time I saw you and Vortec Watches last year. So I appreciate you coming in and giving me a little bit of your time. And yeah, it's great to have you in.
It's great to be here, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'm very grateful for your service. Thank you for serving our country and doing what you
Oh
do.
yeah. Appreciate you, man. It's just part of it. But yeah, last year I saw you. I saw the watches. Before that, I had seen you online. And man, I had to say, like, the movements, how beautiful they look, because the concept that you guys have is so different to every other watch company out there. And a lot of times I think, you know, a lot of watch nerds and a lot of people that are really into watches, they, I don't know, it's kind of like we are a kind of snob about movements, but when, you know, we kind of unbox ourselves into just continuing with the same thing over and over. So I remember seeing the watches online, but man, it's not even close to when you see them in person. Those movements are so beautiful. But for everyone else out there, what was the concept of Vortec watches? What is the difference? What makes you different?
Yeah, so with Vortec, we're taking pocket watches and turning them into wristwatches. So everything on the inside of the watch is an original piece of American history, an antique from typically 80 to 100 years ago. And it all started as a pocket watch. And so you're talking about the movements. You know, I try to clarify when people are holding them for the first time or checking them out on the website. And to your point, it's almost impossible to share everything about what we do and really have the light bulb go off until you're like truly like holding one or spending time with one, or at least you see it on video. That's why we do a lot of video content. But the stuff that I talk about is everything inside the watch, the movement, the dial, and the hands are from an antique American pocket watch. Basically, think of an old pocket watch given to you from your grandfather. You know, he got it 100 years ago, or a pocket watch you found at an estate sale, a flea market, you know, pawn shop, some stuff like that. Most pocket watches today are scrapped for the gold or silver of their case, or they're kind of just sitting in a drawer somewhere. You know, if it's an heirloom, hopefully people are holding on to it, but there's not a whole lot of ways or reasons to use a pocket watch, you know, today. And so the outside of these pocket watch, the case and everything you can touch on the outside is either solid gold, gold filled, maybe solid silver. The case is unfortunately worth more to the rest of the world than the guts, the dial, hands, and
Yeah.
movement. And so we, my business partner Tyler and I saw that as an opportunity originally because we set out to build Vortec about 10 years ago. And the premise was trying to make a watch that was actually made in USA, truly American made. And we couldn't find anyone to make the dial, the movements, or the hands for us, like all the guts of the watch. Basically, everyone told us, oh, that's done in China or Switzerland. You know, that's not American. And we just didn't believe that. And we said, like, okay, well, maybe we can make one. We went down that path, and we stumbled on the history of these old pocket watch companies that made millions of beautiful American-made pocket watches. And then a few people said, well, unfortunately, they're getting thrown away. And, you know, we thought that was a shame. So the pocket watch conversion from Vortec was born. And as a lot of times I call it, like, Vortex and TikTok, a beautiful clash of old and new. Like, that's what Vortec is. It's a clash of old on the inside and brand new on the outside. We're turning that 100-year-old pocket watch into a wristwatch, preserving that piece of American history and telling stories about how, you know what, we used to make these things here. Why the hell can't we do it now?
Yeah, no, I agree. Man, that's crazy. And when did Vortec, when was that? When was Vortec born?
So we founded the company in 2013, and it took us a while to kind of get everything ready, but we launched the company on Kickstarter November of 2014. So this November, here in 2024, will be our 10-year anniversary of making watches.
Nice. Man, and you know, for listeners, like, if you haven't seen these movements, it's like the details, how beautiful these movements used to be in pocket watches back then. They're obviously bigger. But there is incredible. It is insane. And being able to see that in a watch that you can put on your wrist nowadays, it is insanity. If you're talking about, like, a talking piece, something that you're going to walk into a place and you're definitely going to talk about it and people are going to ask you about it, Vortec watches, it is. It's insane. Because to me, a lot of times, you see people are always trying to get something that, honestly, being honest, that catches attention. You know, it's just how when you go to a meeting, a Red Bar meet or any type of watch meet, you know, people take a piece that they think, oh man, people are going to want to talk about it. People are going to stop and ask about it and all these things. And honestly, with your watches, it's something that there is 100% guarantee people are going to ask about it. It's no question about it. People are going to ask. People are going to be interested in seeing it. People are going to want to see it on their wrist. People are going to stare at that movement for a long time because it's just something you don't see nowadays a lot of times. You know, that back in the day kind of mentality of or approach to craftsmanship is really not that present anymore. You know, like you said, a lot of times you're going to get that mass produced movement, and it's nothing against it. You know, it's something that it's because of the culture nowadays and how many more people are wearing watches per se compared to back in the day. You know, yeah, sure, there's going to be more mass-produced movements. There's a bigger market all around the world. So it is hard. But, man, I think you guys have done a great job with that conversion to from pocket watches to wrist watches.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's what I always do. You know, I call them conversation pieces. And the first thing I do when somebody asks me about my watch is I take it off and I show them the back and I tell them the story of, you know, either Hamilton Watch Company or Waltham Watch Company or Elgin Watch Company. These, I call them the great American watch companies. And just how many millions of pocket watches they made and how, you know, these were pocket watches. And so there was a solid case back. You couldn't see this beautiful movement. It was almost like these watchmakers were showing off to just other watchmakers that would see it 10 years from now when it needed to be serviced. And I think it's a beautiful thing that, to your point, that craftsmanship and that attention to detail gets lost in mass production nowadays. And when you think about it, you know, Waltham Watch Company, for instance, just outside of Boston in Massachusetts, they made over 40 million pocket watches across about 100 years of operation of that company. Damn. And so, you know, they had thousands of employees. They were pumping these things out. They made over 1.2 million of just one single model that we found. And so it was like the car companies today. And, you know, you open the hood of pretty much any car nowadays, it's not shiny, it's not fancy, you know, it's just
plastic.
This is taking the back off of a Timex or something like that, and there's nothing against those brands, but that's not what the customer is demanding. That's not what the customer seems to want. And I just think the customers do want that. They just don't really have much opportunity to have that nowadays. And I think that's what makes, you know, the back of a Vortec watch so special, is it's not just because the engraving's beautiful and it's, you know, a little piece of history in there. It's the stories of history and it's the stories that it tell, and it's that conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, especially for the niche where my podcast lives, right? Where, or AWWC and stuff like that, you know, like we are in the military. I always tell people, you'll be surprised how much of a historian we are, right? Because the process of us getting promoted in the military, when it comes to the Army, the Marines, you know, Navy, it doesn't matter. Like the process of us getting promoted, I think, you know, probably the Air Force is the most different one from everybody else. But for the Army, as I can tell you for sure, it's so much of it is based on history. You got to go in front of a board of people and tell them how much you know about that unit history, how much you know about how they came to be, about how much you know of their wars and their leadership and their, you know, famous awardees and stuff like that. And that carries on through everything. So now everything we do in the military, we know the history of the rifles that we're using, how they came to be. We know everything that made them good, everything that made them bad, and the same across everything. So when we dive into watches, for us in the military, the watch culture is all about the history or the stories that you're making with that watch.
Yep.
I always tell the story about this guy in Alaska that bought a Sangin watch, and he only uses that watch when he jumps out of an airplane. And every time, that's the only time he uses it, and it's the jumping Sangin, and that's what he calls it. And that's his way of making different stories with that watch. And I think, you know, when you hit it on the nail, when you're talking about, you know, the history of and the story of this watch is the movement. You know, what's crazy is you were talking about how these watches used to be enclosed in the back.
Right.
And even goes even further for me to tell the story about how much craftsmanship was important for these guys in the back in you know, back in the time when this movement didn't even used to be showcased, and they still put in so much work into it. You know, it's crazy the difference of nowadays, you know. And that's something that, like I said, you just don't get anymore. So that story alone carries such a big thing, or carry forward for so sure. much of the watches.
Well, and you said a lot of things there, Alex, but I think I would say the premise of everything that you just mentioned, including the story of the gentleman jumping out of airplanes and using that watch, and all the stories of like how you get promoted. That's, I just learned something new. I appreciate that. That's really interesting. What I would tie all that into, when you're talking about watches, you're talking about craftsmanship, when you're talking about manufacturing, is heritage and legacy, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. like we use those two words a lot here at Vortec, because if we want to make a product that's going to last a lifetime, whether it's with Vortec watches or with our new Colorado watch company, we have to learn from the past, and we have to figure out mm-hmm. how these people made these products 100 years ago, and what we can learn from that in order to go forward. We also, you know, people bring us their grandfather's pocket watch from, it's their family heirloom. There's only one. They're trusting us to be like basically part of their family and take this family heirloom pocket watch and turn it into a wristwatch so that they can continue to pass that down for multiple generations. And not only is it an honor to be part of that process, but it's a privilege to be part of that process, because we feel like, and maybe we do this to ourselves, we feel like we have to earn it. You know, we have to know all these things. We need to be able to make a high enough quality product that they feel the love and attention that we put into it. And that's what those guys 100 years ago were doing. I mean, they didn't they didn't need to decorate those movements. They didn't need to make those pocket watches tell super accurate time. I mean, obviously, if it was a railroad watch, that's a little bit different. There was certain standards, but most of those pocket watches were given to bankers and lawyers and people that didn't need to be like within a second, you know? So especially mass production, you don't think about that stuff, but it all ties back into, I think, that concept of heritage, the heritage of the brand, you know, protecting the brand. Like Waltham wanted to make sure that, I mean, today in the 2000s, Waltham, Massachusetts is still called Watch City. The factory is still there. It's celebrated, right? There are not very many things like that left on planet Earth, especially in the United States. And we have to protect that heritage. And they didn't know it, but they were building a legacy for themselves and the next generation of watchmakers. And I'm sure they would be really proud of what they built. But I think that all ties back into just integrity, you know, like that concept of looking under the hood, right? I mean, you guys do that all the time, I'm sure, just in all your work. Like somebody's checking your work. Like most of the time, nobody's checking to make sure you did it right.
Yeah.
You're always worried about that one time that someone checks or that one thing that something goes wrong. And it's like, oh man, I forgot to do that one thing. If you are ready, you don't have to get ready, right? If you always do the right thing the first time, then you're never worried about someone opening the hood and looking in, right? Yeah. And that's I think why they did it. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is when you operate in integrity and you build a really high quality product and you're never scared about something going wrong or something, you know, somebody seeing something you did, that tells a story in itself through the product, through the quality. And people are going to want to come by because they hear nothing but good things about you, the brand, the product, because you're just doing it the right way the first time. And I think back to things that don't exist very much anymore, especially mass production, you know, people, you know, even like the Swiss, I don't want to say negative things about the Swiss watch industry, but like, if you came here and we did this interview in person, I would tell you when you walked in, get your phone out, record everything. Nothing we do is a secret. Take pictures of everything. You know, you and everyone that's listening to this is welcome in this building. Our door is always open because we do everything the right way, and I'm proud of it. And I want people to know that, you know, Rolex isn't going to let you in with a camera. They probably do everything the right way. It's probably for a different reason, but a lot of people, They don't want the press up in their business all the time. They don't want customers walking through their facility every day. I mean, we do like 3 or 4 tours a week here, and you know, sometimes my desk is a shit show and there's stuff everywhere and it's a messy thing, but like it's the way I am. It's the way we are. And we put out such a great product that people forgive those little things of like, oh, you know, your cubicles are kind of a mess right now. It's like, well, product is perfect, so
and you know, you hit it on the nail, like, when you were saying, like, that's so much of our culture too in the military, because you know, we always say, you know, do the right thing when no one is looking. So it's such a big part of our culture, so it's definitely something that I think and I believe, you know, for people in the military, they will appreciate from your company too, and your brand. And you know, I'm not afraid in this podcast to say, you know, Rolex can say it's because of other issues, but no, they definitely, or other things, but they definitely don't want you there with a camera for what we were talking about.
I just think, you know, it all goes back to doing things the right way. It all goes back to that heritage of how they used to do it, which was the right way. I'm thinking about, and honestly, your feedback on this and your listeners' feedback on this, I think would be really valuable to me. For Colorado Watch Company, well, take one step back, for Vortec Watch Company, our tagline, and we print it on t-shirts and banners and we say it all the time, America wasn't assembled, it was built.
I
came up with that tagline because we started around the same time as Shinola. And again, not a dig on Shinola, but Shinola's assembling watches in Detroit. We always said we want to build watches in America, and there's a huge difference between those two words, right? So that's a Vortex tagline. And I'm a marketing guy. I love marketing. I love, you know, advertising, sales. Obviously, everything behind me here on the wall. I don't know if you're share this video, but I have this really cool. My Zoom background is just my collection of different liquor bottles that I've picked up around the world. And they all tell a story, and I just love telling a story in a very small canvas, right? And like, how do you get your brand across in a small way, or just in one sentence or a few words? And anyway, the tagline I'm thinking about for Colorado Watch Company is, we make them like they used to. Because
nice.
We hear that all the time, like when people walk into this building, when we're talking about a Vortec watch especially, but now when we're talking about our new watches, everyone always says, well, they don't make them like they used to, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We laugh about that all the time. You know, we're talking about these pocket watches. Everyone asks, like, well, when you put a pocket watch on your wrist, like, how is it going to hold up? And like, you know, how well is it going to keep time? And what's the reliability and all this kind of stuff? And that's all I just say is, they don't make them like they used to. These things were made at a time when people actually did things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was in my pocket, but I was shoveling coal on a train. Right.
Yeah.
Most of our customers nowadays, especially for a Vortec watch, you know, they're not cheap. Right. So,
yeah.
I feel like most of our customers probably baby our watches, and they're just wearing them, mm-hmm. you know, in the office at dinner with their spouse, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's more of a conversation piece, like you said.
Yeah.
But with our new Colorado Watch Company brand, we're building a watch that's going to last a lifetime. And we want you to know that, and we want you to use it. We want you to wear it. We want people to be jumping out of planes with these watches. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
and so I want people to know, like, we're building them the way they're supposed to be built. And I don't want to just say that. I want to show it. And that's why we're doing so many tours. And, you know, there's already, like, Random nice. Rob did a tour of our facility. There's a lot. We're trying to have as many YouTubers in here as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And show rather than tell, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. And before we jump into Colorado Watch Company, with Vortec watches, you guys, you mentioned Hamilton, Waltham. What companies are the ones that you guys use the most for the movements? And do you guys make the cases there? Do you guys take the case from a different watch and put them together?
Yeah, so I'll answer your second question first. So this building that I'm sitting in is 8,500 square feet. It's about half manufacturing, half like assembly and admin.
Yeah.
And so this side of the building, through this wall next to my office here, is our clean room. We have probably 1,500 square feet of, you know, dust-free room, air constantly moving. That's where we're assembling the watches. That's where we're doing some of the restoration of the pocket watches. My watchmakers sit through this wall. On the far corner of the building, we have manufacturing. We have almost 3,000 square feet of actual CNC machines, and we are cutting metal, and we start with a block of metal and we turn it into a watch right here in this building. And honestly, this is one of the only places in the US where you can see how a watch is made from start to finish. Honestly, one of the only places in the world. Most of Switzerland, they make the case in one building, they make the dial in a different building, they make the hands over here. And so that's one of the reasons we do tours, is it's just hard to describe that on a website. And like you said, it's hard to describe that in pictures and videos. So it's just like, hey, come and see, right? So we're making, for Vortec, obviously all the guts of the watch are 100 years old. So we're restoring those pockets. But then we manufacture basically all the metal on the outside of the watch. So case, crown, buckle, all the interior components of the crown to make it set and wind, all of that stuff is made here, you know, in our facility in Colorado. And then for Colorado Watch Company, now we're making the dials as well, which is a whole nother step. But we start with a piece of metal and make a watch, you know, right here in the building. So and I'm sorry, your first question was more about the movements. I forget.
The companies that you guys are using the most companies. for collect those movements.
Sorry. So the I did a really cool YouTube video. If you Google great American watch companies or something about Vortec and the history of the American watch companies, you'll see that on our YouTube channel. There were 10, like I call them great American watch companies or 10 large ones that made most of the pocket watches that could be turned into wristwatches. And I did a little history on each one of those companies. We made a map that shows all the histories and all that kind of stuff. If you look at our website, vortecwatches.com/watches, is where we have all the, basically it's a gallery of every watch we've made. They're all one of a kind, so they all have their own page and stuff like that. Most of the ones you're going to see at this point are Illinois Watch Company. Illinois Watch Company was in Springfield, Illinois. They made the most, like the largest number of high quality movements, with what I would call interesting dials. So, in a certain size that we call the 12 size. So that makes a 45 millimeter watch. We make 43, 45, 47, 49 millimeter watches. Obviously, 43 would be the most popular because people want smaller watches right now. 45, we can find a lot more variety. So that is our most popular size. And then the Illinois Watch Company just made some spectacular movements and dials in that 45 millimeter wristwatch size.
Got it.
They called them 12 size pocket watches. So for that reason, I would say 40% of our business is Illinois. It says Illinois on the dial. And short answer is because they're really cool. I'm not gonna lie to you, they're just awesome. I mean, you'll see, right? And then we also, you'll see on the website, Elgin. Elgin was the world's largest watch company. We don't make as many of those because, I mean, they made 50 million pocket watches. They're kind of like Waltham. Waltham made 40 million pocket watches across the life of those two companies. Those two companies were like over half the industry just by themselves, maybe more than that. And they made some really high quality ones, but they also made a lot of like entry level pocket watches. And so statistically, we're finding the best of the best. And so we don't find as many best of the best in Elgin and Waltham. So you'll see them, but you won't see as many because we're cherry picking the best ones. And then you also see Hamilton. Hamilton, in my opinion, was like the Rolex of America. They were almost totally vertically integrated. You know, they were making the metal, like forging the metal in Pennsylvania at the Hamilton factory. So, just some amazing work. They came from Hamilton, and you'll see a lot of Hamilton watches there. Almost all the military pocket watches that we use from World War II were made by Hamilton. So our military edition and all of those similar watches were all made by Hamilton. And then, you know, periodically you'll see something different, like a South Bend or a Studebaker, which was made for the Studebaker Car Company. You'll see Rockford. Rockford only made 900,000 pocket watches, and they only lasted about 30 years in business. So super, super rare. But when we find one of those, they're spectacular. I mean, and the list goes on and on, but most of them are going to be, to truly answer your question, Elgin, Waltham, Illinois, or Hamilton. Those are the big four that we use.
Got it. That's man, that's great freaking history right there. That little answer alone is great history. And then so Vortec Watches was born. You guys start making these amazing watches, you know, creating history for the now, basically. And then Colorado Watch Company is born. So where how the Colorado Watch Company came to be, and you know, give us the download on that.
So it's very hard to take a pocket watch and turn it into a wristwatch. It's extremely hard to take anything that's 100 years old and fix it up, restore it, and use it every single day now, 100 years since it was built. Even if it was built the right way back then, it's very hard to do that. It's also extremely hard to find watchmakers to do all of that work. You know, a watchmaking people that are watchmakers, I think the average age of a watchmaker in America is like 67 years old. So it's one of those skilled trades. You know, people talk about the skilled trade gap. There's not enough plumbers, there's not enough electricians, there's also not enough watchmakers. And so we are fighting an uphill battle with the Vortec brand and making pocket watch conversions. That's partly all of those reasons are why a Vortec watch is, you know, thousands of dollars, but it's also why we don't make very many. So we can make a couple hundred Vortec watches a year, and that's it, because of all of those reasons. It's just extremely hard to do what we do. And in some ways, it's kind of a good thing. Like, I don't know that I'd want to have thousands of these things out in the world. I think it would devalue our brand. It would devalue the process. It would especially devalue what we call convert your watch, where people send us their family heirloom pocket watches and we turn them into wristwatches. Those are, we only do like 50 of those a year. So those are very custom projects. Those are really fun. People are getting an extremely valuable watch and experience when they buy a Vortec watch. But for all those reasons, from a business standpoint, you know, take my like engineer creative hat off and set it aside and say, okay, but we got to make money if we want to have a sustainable business. Making only a couple hundred of something a year, it doesn't really justify having 8,000 square feet of manufacturing, millions of dollars of CNC machines. Like, we have a big operation here now.
Yeah.
And so Tyler and I were like, well, you know, we can make modern watches. We've never made a fully modern watch ourselves. It'd be kind of fun to try. And a new company came along called FTS, or Fine Timepiece Solutions, down in Arizona. And the reason we hadn't really got into this before was we couldn't find an American movement. You know, nobody's really making movements in America, but this company down in Arizona is assembling movements in Arizona now. So back to the America wasn't assembled, it was built. We can't build a movement in America yet, but it's still better to assemble it here and use American labor to build the movements and use foreign components than have a truly un-American movement. And so once they came along, once they had an automatic movement for us, they call it the Americron, we were like, okay, well, we can have an American assembled movement. We can make the dials. We can make the cases. We can make most of this watch in America and over half of it here in Colorado. Let's give it a shot. And for years, if people forgot what our company was called, you know, Vortec is kind of a weird word, right? It's a little different. They said, oh, it's that Colorado watch company, because we're the only one. And so we're like, perfect. So we are the Colorado watch company. We have two brands now. Vortec is kind of our parent company, right? We do all our manufacturing. We make pocket watches and wristwatches on a real small scale. And then we have Colorado watch company as our new brand, and a separate brand that's all also made here in this building, all one company. It's all me and Tyler and our team. But now we make 87% of those watches in the USA. 87% of the cost is American, which we're extremely proud of, because to be made in USA, we probably have to be like, if we wanted to stamp made in USA on the watch, we probably have to be in the 90 some percent. It's kind of a difficult definition to reach. But to be made in Switzerland, you only have to be 60% Swiss made. Yeah. And so if we were sitting in Switzerland, we'd be making Swiss made watches all day. I mean, over 50% more than what we'd have to be. And so to get to 87% of the cost, we're really strong. We feel really strongly about, we say if it can be made here, it should. We think we can get that percentage up, you know, every year, hopefully, I mean, 1% at a time, right? 1% better every day. That kind of stuff is what we're thinking about with Colorado Watch Company. Next step, we're going to try to make a rotor, you know, for the movement, start making movement parts here in Colorado. I think that'll be really exciting. But that was really the premise is, okay, now we have a movement that's at least assembled in America. We have the capability to make a modern watch here in America, and no one else really has this opportunity. So it'd kind of be a shame if we didn't at least try. And that was the idea for Colorado Watch Company. And I just hoped that people would like it. And I hope people wanted to put their money behind an American made watch. And we were right. People did. Yeah. And we launched on Kickstarter in October. We set the goal at 250,000, basically selling like 200 watches for, you know, $1,200 a piece on average. And that was all the stories we told, was we're just going to try to make as much here as we possibly can. And we put everything on video. Here's how the case is made. Here's how the dial's made. We were super transparent on the Kickstarter campaign. And now on our future website, we're going to have a layout of all the parts, and it's going to have little arrows that say, Hey, the hands are made in Hong Kong. Sorry, that's where we get them. That's the only way to get hands right now. All your Swiss watches, including Rolex, have hands made in Hong Kong. That's how it works.
Yeah.
But we're telling you that up front. And we're saying, however, our dials are made here in Colorado. And here's a video of somebody cutting a piece of metal, turning, making that dial right here. We're doing the best we can with what we have. And we're being extremely transparent, operating in integrity, and saying our door is always open. Come and see. And that's the point of Colorado Watch Company. And yeah, we sold over 300 watches in that 30 days on Kickstarter, and we're still making them now. We decided, again, in integrity, not to sell any more until we've shipped all these watches to our Kickstarter backers, because they helped us bring this idea to life. So hopefully we'll have watches for sale and a new Colorado Watch Company website by like July this year. And in the meantime, Tyler and I are doing monthly updates for our Kickstarter backers, and you can follow along with all that stuff at coloradowatchcompany.com.
Nice. That's a really interesting story. And it goes to show your marketing brain of the whole Colorado Watch Company, that Colorado Watch Company. And then it comes to be the name of the new company. And that's amazing. And I think you're right. You know, with the love for watches growing, I think a lot of people started to go back into the mentality of, hey, why are no American watch companies here? And I think you put it, your explanation of how hard it is to achieve that American made, label here in the United States, it was perfect, you know, and how you guys are at 87%. I think, you know, now I'm looking forward to you guys, battling, you know, through and making it through, the 90% range, but that's great. 87%, you know, is something that I don't think, any other company can say, right? So it's something that sometimes even the companies are saying Swiss made, like you said, are not at 87%. So, you know, it's yeah, something exactly. That, it, you know, it's surprising, it's valuable. It's something that I think a lot of people are going to respect. Like you said, a lot of people jumping in to support Colorado Watch Company is great. And man, that's an amazing story. I like it.
Thank you. It's
great.
And that's how we plan to scale the business, right? Like now I can make, instead of hundreds of watches a year, I can make hundreds of watches a month. And so with Colorado, we can get to scale. And the only way we can charge, you know, only about our price range for Colorado Watch Company is going to be 1500 to 2000 roughly. You know, we're gonna have different models and different ranges. We started with a field watch and what I call the GCT, which is modeled after our military edition, which we forgot to talk about. We should probably mention, since, you know, you're in the Army and that pocket watch was made for the Army Air Corps during World War II. Yeah. But we can circle back to that. The premise of Colorado is not just trying to be American made, because it is very hard. And just, you know, real quick, the true definition of made in USA by the Federal Trade Commission is all or virtually all critical components must be made in USA for your product to be considered made in USA. It's a very gray area. All or virtually all. What does virtually all mean? Is that 90%? Is that 95%? Is it 99%? We don't know. Right. And then what is the critical components? Because it's all or virtually all critical components.
Yeah.
Is the glass critical? You know, the hands are probably critical, and nobody really makes hands in America. So that's awkward. That's a big thing we'll have to solve. Right.
Yeah.
You know, is the strap critical? It's still a watch. It tells time, you know, you could just throw it on your wrist somehow, like with a piece of American made string, and that's a watch now. So, the Federal Trade Commission just hasn't done us any favors with the definition. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, because it's so confusing and it's not well defined, people have taken advantage of it, you know, and people say their products are made in USA when they're not, they don't know the definition of made in USA. They're just like, yeah, we assembled in America. It's made here. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? So, that's, I could do an entire 45-minute podcast just on the history of the definition of made in USA. But long story short, it's going to take us probably 10 plus years But we're working with other American watch companies to lobby the federal government and try to get that rule changed to be a percentage. Because in Switzerland, it's 60%.
It's a percentage, yeah.
And 60% is probably too low. Like, that's kind of a low bar, to be honest, right? Yeah. Because in Switzerland, you could just assemble the watch there. And if your labor's a lot of money and your parts are really low, 60% of the cost is in Switzerland. And so that watch is assembled in Switzerland, but they can call it Swiss made because it's 60%. I'll finish with in 1995, someone lobbied the government, not about watches, but they tried to get a percentage for American made at 75%. And all I want to do is bring that back and say, yeah, let's go. 75% is perfect. Like, I think that's great. Yeah. If 3/4 of the cost of your product is American, whether it's a car, a watch, a desk, you know, any piece of furniture, whatever, I think that's pretty good. And then if we have a percentage, now we have a metric to review.
Yeah.
And if somebody says made in USA, we say, okay, what percent?
Exactly.
So that's why we're being super open with our percentage. And we're really the only company that says a percentage of how much our watch is American, because we're just trying to start that conversation and get people thinking about it and get people to, you know, ask that question before they make a purchase.
Man, this episode has been educational in all fronts. It's just education all throughout. It is crazy. This is a great episode. Yeah, and you brought up the military part, and I know that you've been part of the Intersect shows, and you got to meet Cody from AWWC, and we wanted to talk about that a little bit. So let's just jump into that. Dude, talk a little bit about that. Let's connect it to your GCT model and the military model, and really? Yeah, I'll let you get on that.
Well, going way back. My last name's Custer. I am related. I'm like a seventh cousin to General George Armstrong Custer. And my dad's done that whole genealogy, you know, all the way back to the general. And so I grew up around military history. You know, my dad has, like, I think the second largest collection of books on General George Custer. And so we talked about that, and my dad always made it a point to, you know, like we talked about in the beginning of the episode, know where you came from, right? And respect that heritage. And obviously for my whole life, it doesn't happen often, but some people, when they hear my last name, they're like, oh, like the general. And that's how I know either they have some kind of military connection, or they like American history. And so I'm like, okay, we can be friends. I love American history. That's like my thing, right? Yeah. Especially American military history. So I did not serve, but both my grandfather served on both sides of my family. I heard stories from them. I've just had this amazing, you know, respect for those that do. And again, thank you for your service. So that's where my kind of passion came from initially. It's just my heritage, right? And then one day somebody brought in this pocket watch to turn into a wristwatch. It was their grandfather's. Their grandfather was a navigator on a B-17 in World War II. And they used this pocket watch to tell time in the back of the plane as the navigator to do their job, right? It was a tool. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. True 24-hour dial, a black dial with white numerals and white hands, a white sweeping second hand, just a beautiful pocket watch and a true 24-hour dial, which is super rare. You don't see that very often at all. And we did a bunch of research, and we realized that was the master navigator's watch. It was given to every navigator on every type of bomber during World War II. It was made by Hamilton for the Army Air Corps. From our manufacturing logs, we can see it was made from 1937 until they still made it in the 1960s, but most of them were made during World War II. And so Hamilton made about 120,000 of that pocket watch for the Army Air Corps. Because of my heritage and because of these things, like, I just went down that rabbit hole, and I'm still deep in there. And it's so cool that the stories, that's one example, and that's probably the best example, but there are tons of military pocket watches, made for World War II. And this was just the coolest story I've ever heard. And we were just like, okay, well, we got to make this into a wristwatch and we got to tell this story. So the military edition was born. We released it in on Veterans Day, you know, November 11th, 2019 is when we came out with the first one. We made as many as we could. So we ended up making 50 pieces. We basically found 50 of those pocket watches, and then we turned them into wristwatches and released them for sale on that one day. And I thought it was a good idea. I thought people would connect with it. It had to be kind of expensive, you know, because they're super rare. They're hard to find.
Yeah.
I had no idea what to expect out of sales. And they sold out in 24 hours at $5,000 a piece.
Nice.
Our most expensive product at that time. And we took a big risk, and gosh, did it pay off. And people loved it. And people are begging us constantly to make more. And that was the first year. Now we've done it every year on Veterans Day since. We've done some special editions. We've told stories. Last year, we did a watch called the Comparing Watch. I found these pocket watches used by the Navy that were definitely off the coast of Normandy during D-Day. The Comparing Watch was used by the officer of the watch to compare to the ship's chronometer and walk around the deck and make sure that every timekeeping component on the ship was on time with the chronometer. I mean, that's just one of like 50.
Yeah.
Stories I could share about these amazing pocket watches that we just keep stumbling upon. And at the same time, you know, we're like, okay, well, we got to give back. Like we got to have, you know, some reason, some why behind all this stuff. The biggest problem we face, like we talked about, is that there's not enough watchmakers in the world.
Yeah.
And when we released the military edition the first time, when we started talking about it, somebody was like, hey, do you know about this school in Delaware? It's called the Veterans Watchmaker Initiative. And I was like, no, tell me more. And I was on an airplane within 24 hours going to Delaware to meet Sam Cann, and he runs Veterans Watchmaker Initiative in Odessa, Delaware. It's one of the only schools left in the country for watchmaking. And he specifically trains U.S. military vets to be watchmakers. And gosh, if that is not the best charity or nonprofit arm that I could think of for this company, I couldn't. Yeah, I mean, it was so perfect. Sam is just a saint. He's dedicated his life. He's a former police officer and dedicated his life to serving, you know, people like yourself. Once you become a veteran, and you want something else to do, and you want to dedicate your life to watchmaking and fixing watches, he's your guy. And just an amazing. Again, I could do a whole podcast on the history of that and how it came from the Joseph Bulova School for Watchmaking that came out of World War II. I mean, the tie-ins are endless. Anyway, we're one of the largest donors of that school. $500 from the sale of every military edition watch goes to that school. $100 from every watch of our GCT watch, which is our new Colorado Watch Company watch made to look like these military editions I'm talking about. But now under our Colorado watch brand. $100 from each of those watches will go to the school once we start selling them here soon. We're just trying to figure out how to get more money to that school and serve more people who have already served us and now want to be watchmakers. So that's the military edition. That's our give back. That's our why. And I'm a little biased because I'm on the board of that school now. They named a building after me, you know, like we've helped them a lot. But it all ties in. Honestly, all the stuff that we talked about today, I have to show you this. So I have this on my desk. And I heard this quote a little ways back. I'll read it to you, but the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. Yeah. The true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. And to me, that's the definition of legacy. It defines why we're doing all this stuff. You know, why am I working so hard to do all this stuff? I got kids. I want them to look up to me. You know, I want all these products we're making to last a lifetime. And it's way more than just selling a watch, right? It has to be.
Yeah.
It's so dang hard to do this.
I agree.
Why are we doing it? That's my why personally. And it's all about legacy. And I just, you know, I also grew up on a Christmas tree farm. So just the whole tree analogy is pretty close to me. But anyway, that's our why. That's our legacy. That's the story we're trying to tell through this military edition, besides just preserving those pieces of history.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing story, and I'm glad you brought in the watch initiative, because that's one of the things that I learned from Jason and the we're doing the podcast that I talked to you about earlier. Jason and Cody from AWWC, we're starting this podcast where, you know, me and Jason know each other from quite a bit now, and we're always talking, and that's who I learned from his podcast. That's where I learned from the Watch Initiative and all that stuff. So I know he's gonna love the fact that you know you talked about it and all that stuff. So that was amazing to hear. Like I said, great history, great history. And then I know you said you wanted to talk to a little bit about AWWC, a couple of ideas that you had, and stuff like that. So, yeah, again, I give you the floor. This is all you. This episode has been all you, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I talked to Jason and Cody just a couple of days ago. At this point, I was in Atlanta for the next Intersect show, and we were just chatting. And I was very upfront with them about my relationship with the Veterans Watchmaker Initiative, and basically, like every cent that we have to donate to a cause, I want to donate there. I'm contradicting myself a little bit because we're in this. I don't think we've announced this publicly, but it's totally fine. You know, it's exciting, and it's not going to hurt anything. So you might know the military edition from 2021. We got that watch. We call it the third edition. It's a steel case with the black dial and everything. You know, piece of history inside. We got that watch on John Krasinski's wrist and Jack Ryan on TV. And John Krasinski wore it on season 4 of Jack Ryan. And then Michael Kelly, he was Mike November in the show. Michael Kelly wore a different watch. He actually wore my personal military edition watch, in season 3 and season 4. And that was just a really cool thing that happened to us and with us. And, you know, it was an honor to be part of that huge show. And making a watch for actors was something that we never even thought of, but it was so cool to be part of. And we're donating the two watches that those actors wore on TV are being auctioned off later this year with a huge auction house in New York City. And the charity is again a veterans charity. And so we're doing a lot already. But the other ideas I had was, you know, we have some really cool stuff, like in process. We just came out with a few new t-shirts. I finally found a t-shirt company that can make the t-shirt in America, because our tagline is America wasn't assembled, it was built. I'm not going to stamp that on a t-shirt made in Vietnam, you know, or something. That's what, it's just dumb. So I finally found an American t-shirt company. We're printing the t-shirts here in Colorado, on American made shirts. And we're doing a America wasn't assembled, it was built shirt. And I call it the military edition shirt, but it's got a really cool like engineering print of a B-17 on it. And so it's just like these really cool shirts. So I was talking to Cody about that. And just saying, like, I wonder if we can, you know, do some giveaways, do a discount on the shirts for your following. Obviously, you know, I'd love to sell as many watches as I can to veterans and people currently serving, and even just you know, first responders. We have a standard 10% discount for all those that serve. So again, thank you for that. Whether you want a t-shirt, a watch, anything. Everything on VorticWatches.com and ColoradoWatchCompany.com will have that 10% discount for you. But I just want to also be respectful and realize that our watches are thousands of dollars. So that's not for everyone. And so what I said to Cody was, you know, maybe we can start off with something that's more for everyone, like just a really cool t-shirt, and somehow donate the proceeds or raise awareness for the Veterans Watchmaker Initiative or all the other cool stuff that you guys are doing. So anyway, it's just an idea at this point, but I'm willing to make as many shirts and hats and obviously watches as we possibly can to support you guys and all the cool stuff you do.
Yeah, no, and you know, we appreciate it, and that's one of those things, you know, like I was saying, like you know, we came together because of our love of supporting however we could, you know. And you know, I always tell people, like I was saying in our podcast with Cody and Jason, Government Cheese Time, where, you know, that one, I always tell people, we're not collecting any money from AWWC or anyone. What we're trying to do is bring awareness and try to bring as much as help as we can to the people and the organizations that do the benefit, right? Jason and his Watch Rolling podcast, where he's the one that started that with the Watch Initiative. He doesn't take any money from them. He's trying to bring awareness to that program and to that school that he loved, you know. And with Cody, that he doesn't make any money out of AWWC, and he's constantly working so much in order to make that happen. So we truly appreciate you know, your help with the Watch Initiative, with, you know, thinking about ideas with AWWC and all that stuff, you know, the military history inside your watches and all that stuff. Because I would tell you right now, like you were saying about the Colorado Watch Company, I would tell you that, you know, when the military guys start buying those watches, they're definitely going to test it. So it's
going
to
be
great.
Yep. And we want you to, we want them to, you know, I can't wait till we get one in the mail that's been just completely destroyed and we get to rebuild it and fix it. I mean, that's the other thing about these, you know, the history of all these companies and making things the right way. My business partner, Tyler, runs all of our manufacturing, and he says this all the time. He says, you know, we live in a throwaway economy, and so many companies are manufacturing. I mean, they're literally manufacturing things to die on purpose in a few years, like the iPhone. You know, it's like, oh, I got to get a new one. You just throw it away. What happens to it when it's gone? What's going on with that? Everything we make, we can fix, and we won't touch. We won't touch a pocket watch and turn it into wristwatch unless we have spare parts, unless we can fix that in the future for you. Nice. And the same thing with Colorado Watch Company. If you do something really badass in this watch and it doesn't make it home quite right, send it to us and we're going to make it right, because that's a really sweet story that we want to share. Right. And it's like, you need a new piece of glass or you need a new strap because you did something really dope in this watch. Send it back. We got you.
Yeah.
We got you covered.
That is amazing.
Better story.
Yeah. That is amazing. And, you know, honestly, I don't think there is a better way to start closing down. You know, I think it's, like I said, this has been a very educational podcast episode. I think it's been great. I think it's probably the episode that I have talked the least, because I didn't want to interrupt at all. You know, I think, you brought it in, and man, I'm really glad that you came on board on this episode, because it is great. I don't want to take too much of your time, because I know, you know, you're a busy person. We're closing in an hour, you know, so any closing comments you have, again, I'll pass it down to you, man.
No, first of all, thank you. Thanks for having me. I love doing these podcasts. I love sharing. I love telling the stories. Like you said, just raising awareness for everything we do. Obviously, if you like watches and you want to check out, obviously, if you want to buy a watch, that's awesome. But even if you just want to check out all the stuff we do, we have two websites now. It's all kind of one thing, but vorticwatches.com. That's VORTIC watches.com. And then we also have coloradowatchcompany.com. So you can check out those two different lines of watches. If you want to look at the t-shirts that I was talking about, we have an accessories page, all the new t-shirts and hats and stuff like that, that we're working on. That's all coming, and I welcome ideas, feedback. If anyone else has a podcast, they want to, you know, have me on, go deeper on any of these stories, especially the definition of American made, as much as I can talk about that and just raise awareness to that and raise awareness for the Veterans Watchmaker Initiative. That's really the two things I like to talk about, besides just talking about what we do. I'd love to talk to any of the people that are listening. My email address is really simple. My name's RT, like Robert Thomas. It's RT@vorticwatches.com. Shoot me an email. I'd love to chat, answer any questions that you have, and hook you up with some swag at some point when we have those available.
Nice. Well, you know, again, I appreciate you coming in. And to all the listeners out there, hey, I'm pretty sure you guys enjoy this this episode. Like RT said, you know, go online, you know, take a look at their watches. It, like I said, if you can make it in person to them in Colorado, if you can make it in person to any of their events that they're in or taking part of, go, because I'm telling you, what you see online is going to be 100% better when you see it in person. Not that the photographs are not good, but in person is amazing. I'm telling you, it is. You can't replace that feeling of having those watches in your hand. And now take a look at Colorado Watch Company, because I think it's going to be great. They're making some good stuff, and you have enough time from now till the summer when they start coming back up online to take a look and do your research. Great to have you in. Thanks for listening, guys, and hope to hear you guys or talk to you guys soon again. Have a good one.
Thanks, Alex.